I'm so glad to see all your faces. I know coming here versus watching the World Cup is not an easy sacrifice to make. If you're new among us, we just want you to know that God loves you, He cares for you, and He wants to know you. With that being said, can everyone give their neighbor a high five? Give Neil a high five. Tell them that God loves them. Awesome. Well, I'm so glad. It's good to give people high fives. It's like not too intimate, but still have some physical interaction. So we just hope that this morning at CIT, this is a place where you can feel right at home. We're so glad to see you, and we're so glad that you're able to join us this morning. One of the things we want to talk about is Vacation Bible School coming up this coming week. If, as you walk into the main auditorium, you should be able to see some of the props that the kids team have been working on. They look incredible. I know this is going to be such an amazing week. So disregard the grades 4 to 6. If you have kids going into grades 2 to 6, we're going to have some people after the service by the kids check-in table. They would love to talk to you. They would love to get to know your kids. And I think this would be a fantastic opportunity for your kids to encounter Jesus. One of the key pillars here at CIT is community. And living in a big city like Toronto, you know, especially for people my age, and I've had the struggle where there's a lot of pressure to look a certain way, to act a certain way, and make it seem like you have it all together. And one of the things that's been so incredible about community groups is creating these genuine, authentic relationships where you can be vulnerable with them, you can share with them your insecurities, your burdens, your struggles. And for those of you here this morning that are looking for those kind of relationships or feel like it's lacking in your life, I encourage you after the service to talk to anyone with a Connect team lanyard. They love to get to know you more and find a community group that's just right for you. Lastly, this is something that's been on my heart for a long time and I'm excited to share with you, which is that we're having a cafe renovation. As Nate had talked about last week, our mission here at CIT is to lead people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. One part of that is our decision to move to 2 services. This is an incredible opportunity for us to open up our doors, to have more service times, to allow people to have that encounter. Another key part of that is this renovation that we're doing. We want to create a space here at CIT where when people come in, they feel welcome, they feel invited, and they feel at home. And as I was thinking this week about how to really summarize this thought, I want to read you our cafe mission statement. This is something that we put on every single training document that we have to always remind our volunteers why we serve coffee at church. So I'm just going to read it to you. We want to tell people that we love them by greeting them with a pleasant aroma and a smile. It's a way of saying we love you and are glad you are at CIT without having to say those words. That's the reason we serve coffee at church. And I would hope that would serve as an inspiration and reminder about why we're doing some of the things that we're doing. There's still a few details that we're finalizing, but over the next few weeks and months, expect to see some changes coming to the cafe area. With that being said, I'd like now to invite our Pastor Ian to continue our series in Messiah. Thank you.
While I get set up, David's going to introduce himself and we'll go ahead.
Hello, church. Good morning, everyone. My name is David. So thank you, Ian, to give me a chance to read Bible for the last time before we return to China. I will miss you guys so much. Yeah, so I want to thank you, everyone. My experience in Toronto just bears the witness of the Lord. Lord's sovereignty is in everywhere, so everything is arranged. I remember I was baptized last year, July 23rd. Mm-hmm. It's almost 1 year. Yeah. So I really thank you, everyone, yeah, to support me, support my family. So first, it's you to support me, to let me know I live in a big family. So this is a good memory of my family in a home group meeting, mm-hmm, in my home and also in Nigel's home. So it's you to let me feel you lead me, my family, myself, into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So let's read Bible for you. Yeah. The Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I will set up three shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down and were terrified. Jesus came up, touched them, and said, Get up, don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus alone. Thank you.
Thank you, David. We will definitely miss your family. We're still moving forward in our series in Matthew. We've called it Messiah because this whole book is focused on the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. And as I mentioned last week, we're putting our foot harder on the pedal now. We're moving towards the end. And last week, we kind of saw a climax of what happened. And that's where Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they got all kinds of answers. But then he says, but how about you? Who do you say that I am? And they got it right. They said, you are the Messiah, which is great. So we've come to this kind of apex or climax of the book, and we're going to move forward from there. But, you know, like some of us, we don't quite get what's going on. So how many of you like The Blacklist? Do you know what that, you know what that is? Okay, we have a few people. It's good, right, Ben? Okay, if for those of you who don't watch the series, that's okay, it's okay. But the lady on the left is named Elizabeth, and the man on the right, his name is Raymond. And the whole thing in that, who are these people? And the more that the series kind of goes on, the more you realize, oh my goodness, I can't believe. So now I just intrigued you all, right? So now you're all going to have to go. Now you're all going to, okay, I'm going to go watch The Black. And it's no different. So there's a climax that comes at that particular point when you find out, oh my goodness, I can't believe that Raymond Reddington is, I'm not going to say. I don't. But that's typical. That's the way that we do things. And it's no different for American Idol. We don't have Canadian Idol anymore. It only lasted a few years. But it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of moving towards a climax. Who is going to be the best singer that America thinks, right? Or, I don't know, how many of you here watch The Bachelor or something like that? You know, oh, you see, I knew there were some young ladies here. There's no men who watch that show. That is for sure. But it's you're kind of moving towards that kind of climax. And you're like, who's going to be the winner? And like somebody mentioned this morning, the World Cup is on this morning. So don't check your phones. There's nobody here from France. There's nobody here from Croatia. So you don't. I'm so glad that England is not in the final. Because had they been in the final, I would have been in a really tough spot this morning. Here we are at this critical point in the book of Matthew where Jesus is seen and understood as the Messiah. So let me share with you what we're going to do today. We've got a lot of work to do, and I'm going to kind of be in a lot of verses, so I need you to work, kind of stay with me. So I need you to see this diagram because this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at death and resurrection. It's proclaimed by Jesus. And then, just like David read, we're going to talk about the transfiguration. But for those of you who've seen the transfiguration, you know about the transfiguration, this is going to be a little different this morning. We're not leaning into the transfiguration like you may have in the past. We're looking at it in its context. And that's why I've put it in this diagram for you. Because there's a declaration of death and resurrection before it. There's the event called the transfiguration. We'll get to that in a sec. And then there's another proclamation or declaration about death and resurrection. We want to consider this morning Why is it in that order? Of course, the a critical part of that, and this is our title for this morning, is listen to him. Listen to him. So I hope this morning, as you're here, your heart would be open, your ears would be open, your attention would be here. Listen to what he's going to tell you this morning. And you know what? I know the way that God has been operating in my life over the years, and I'm sure he's operating in yours exactly the same way. He's still speaking to you. He may have been speaking to you this morning. May have been speaking to you yesterday. He may have been speaking to you about something for some time now. And all I ask for you this morning is just, would you please just listen to him this morning? Because I guarantee you he's going to say something to you. So here we are. Jesus has just revealed that he is the Messiah and his disciples get it. And the most amazing thing happens right after that. They're all excited. Peter's like, yay, this is great. I got it. I got A plus on my exam. It's awesome. And I want you to see what Jesus says right after this. So verses 21 through 23 go this way. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. That's shocking. That's shocking. Then Peter takes him aside. Whoa, 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 wait a second. Jesus, come on over here. Let me have a little chat with you for a second. He says, this version says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. That's a strong reaction to what Jesus just said. Jesus said, I have to go to Jerusalem and I have to die, but I'm going to be raised. But I guarantee you, Peter didn't hear, be raised. Peter heard, I'm going to die. And, you know, aren't we like that sometimes when we hear something that shocks us? I remember being with my mom and my dad. My dad got a diagnosis that he had cancer at a certain point in time. And it was really, really important that I was there with my mom. And I knew I needed to be there with my mom because I know that I'm just like her. I'm going to receive bad news and I'm not going to hear anything past the bad news. Right? And so I knew the moment she heard the word cancer for my dad, that's it. She shut off because she just was focusing in on that. And she never heard what was the procedure or anything like that. So afterwards, I had to kind of fill her in. Yeah, mom, it's going to go like this. It's going to. And aren't we like that sometimes? So Peter heard death. And so he takes Jesus aside and it says he's rebuking him. Look what he says. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, wow, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And let me just spend a little bit of time here, because I think this is important. So here's what Jesus is explaining to Peter. I have to die. I have to go to the cross, and I'm gonna die. But that is just not the way that Peter's thinking. Jesus is saying this. Through the cross, God's kingdom is going to come to this earth in all its fullness, and God is going to reign. But Peter's thought is like, wait, wait. Did you just say death? No way. No way, because why? That doesn't match what Peter is thinking in terms of a Messiah. To Peter and many people of those days, including the Pharisees and the scribes, they're all looking for a Messiah who will come and reign as a victorious, conquering king and throw out the Romans. That's what they're expecting. And so for them, I've brought a little prop along to kind of show you what their thought of a the way that the kingdom is going to come in, it's going to come in with a sword. It's going to come in with a sword. And so you've got this massive contrast between sword and cross. Sword, take it by power, take it militarily. Cross, die? And so this does not match what Peter is thinking at all. But I love what Jesus says. Autumn, could you go back to those verses? Jesus does not give in. He's not like, okay, you twisted my arm, Peter. I'll just do what you say. This Messiah, Jesus, he is faithful to what God has asked him to do. And God has made it clear to him, Jesus, you have to go to the cross. Military power is not going to change the issue that is inside of people. Military power may make Israel great again, but that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Military power may make Israel rise as a power again, but it never deals with the issue that caused them to get in the problem in the first place. Sin. This is the only solution, but Peter's not having it. And Jesus is not going to get persuaded by Peter, and he says, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And so I'm going to contrast these two things once again. Which one of these is the mind of God, and which is the mind of man? You see what is going on here? Peter is having such a difficult time with what Jesus is revealing. And so we like to take things by force. And so what did Peter and the other disciples need? They needed to get clear on this. They needed to get clear. Maybe Peter at this point is thinking, you know, just a couple of minutes ago, I was saying you're the Messiah. Now that you've told us this and you're going to die, I'm kind of wondering, are you really the Messiah? Because that's not what the Messiah is supposed to do. And so Peter thinks he's got the right person, but he's now kind of probably thinking, that's not going to go the way that I think it should go. And this is why the transfiguration is so important, because God has got to help Peter see one thing. Peter, he is the right person, and he has the right way. Even though it doesn't make sense to you, this is God's plan, and this is God's way forward. And so then we come to these verses in the Transfiguration. David mentioned them, read them for us. Peter, James, and John, they go up to a mountain with Jesus, just three of them alone. And while they're up that mountain, Jesus begins to shine. Something changes with Jesus. This word transfigured means just he started to change, and his clothes were shining as white, and his face is shining like the sun. And Peter starts to see what's going on. And then Moses and Elijah show up. And Peter has a response to that. Again, Peter always has good, well, he has responses. I want to say he has good responses. Peter has another response. Lord, it's so good that we're here. Let me just get a tabernacle or a tent to worship you, and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, boom. God doesn't even let him finish. God just kind of interrupts Peter, and he says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. What do you think God is helping Peter and those other two disciples to understand? I know that you don't quite get it, that Jesus is the right guy, and you're kind of wondering, but look, this is where we have to lean in a little bit to the transfiguration. When Jesus begins to shine like that, it's showing Peter how glorious he is. You understand what's happening, right? The humanity that Jesus has put on is veiling, it's hiding who he truly is inside. And so for that moment, all of a sudden, it's just like, what's inside just comes out. And Peter's like, whoa, I didn't see that. I saw all the outside things, but I didn't see the glory. I didn't see the divine thing that's inside of this man. And what's beautiful about this, the transfiguration gives us a preview of the coming kingdom. Because there's no darkness, there's no stain of sin. Christ is at the center, and let's be clear, in the kingdom, he will have no equals. Look at this quote from Douglas Moo. I think it's helpful. The transfiguration involves a transformation of Jesus in appearance. We got that already. A transformation that reveals his true nature. It is this glorious and majestic nature hidden during his earthly life that will be revealed to all the world at the time of his return. That's when his kingdom will be fully set up on this earth. The transfiguration reveals Jesus as the glorious king. And so what is the transfiguration doing? The transfiguration is helping those disciples and helping us to see God is going to set up his kingdom, and the way he's going to set up his kingdom is through his death and his resurrection. He has to go to the cross to die. And as much as Peter doesn't like to hear that Jesus is going to die, what does God say to Peter?
Listen
to him. Do you understand what he's saying? Listen to him. Everything that he has been doing, everything that he has been saying, God is saying, I have put my stamp of approval on him. This is my son. Let me ask you, who do you think that God is talking to when he says, this is my son? Who do you think? You think he's making just like a general statement? Who is he making clear, this is my son, and I want you to listen to him?
Peter,
right? Peter's the one who has the issue with no way. You can't possibly go and die. You can't die. There's no way. And God, this is such a great picture. Like, God transfigured Jesus in front of his disciples for them, right? This whole event, this whole thing is for them. It's to help them to see, this is the right guy. And even though I don't like the way that he said it's going to happen, it's the right way. Isn't that amazing? Moses and Elijah, what are they doing? They're kind of pointing everything in the Old Testament, just kind of pointing towards Jesus. So Jesus is faithfully carrying out all that God wants him to do. And he's not going to be persuaded by Peter. And the takeaway message from this is simply, listen to him. Right after this, we have these verses. It's a short while after this, not immediately. As they gathered in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." Autumn, could you put that overall picture up for me again, just so we're clear? Do you see what's gone on here? Peter has had an issue with the death and resurrection of Jesus. God has transfigured Jesus in front of them so that they get the point. Yes, this is really my son, and yes, this is the way that he's going. And right afterwards, again, we see a proclamation, a declaration of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And what's surprising this time is, can you go back to those verses for me, Autumn? No response from Peter. No outcry. No outburst at all. No rebuking. I mean, I did leave off the last part. They're still upset. But nothing like we saw earlier. Peter and the disciples are slowly understanding. In order for God's kingdom to come in, it's not according to man's thinking. It's according to God's mind. And as much as we don't like God's mind, still, we have to accept what he's doing. So let me bring this home. Teaching is over. If you got it, awesome. Let me bring this home to us now. Because those of us in this room who have received Jesus as our Savior, we are disciples. And we are called to follow him. So I want to show you some verses that when Peter had this massive reaction, this is what Jesus actually spoke to him. He said, "Then Jesus told the disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?'" I want to really lean into these verses now for us. We've seen that Peter had a hard time with the cross. Just didn't go along with his concept. And many Christians have a hard time with the fact that the way forward in our Christian life is also the way of the cross. No one gets excited about these messages. You know that, right? Like, no one's like, "Yeah, bring it on." No, you don't, because you know the cross means suffering. The cross means suffering. Now, we do not bear the cross in the same way that Jesus did. That was once for all for redemption. But there is something that Jesus asks us to bear as we go forward. So the key thing here is, from this transfiguration, is listen to him. Listen to him. Sometimes we're not listening to him because we've got our sword in our hand. And we're thinking according to human reasoning and logic and everything else. And that can be the real issue for us. But Jesus is saying in these verses, put down your sword and take up that cross. And I'm going to ask you, who are you listening to? You know, if you're like me, you listen to you a lot. Am I right? Come on. You don't listen to you? If you don't listen to you, we need to have another conversation. Because you need to make certain decisions. But sometimes we can't, you know, when it comes to following God, we're just so used to following me. I'm so used to following me, I just follow me. So here's the interesting thing. Here's what it sounds like for me. I know what I want, and no one is going to stop me. Have you been there? That's right. Thank you for your honesty. It's good. And I think what you've got to ask, if you take a step back, is like, you know, if I'm Peter, or let's say Ian, hey, Ian, how's that working for you? And, you know, if we're being honest, we're like, it's not going that well. But you know what? I'm going to make it look like it's going really, really well. Because I don't want to admit. So let me give you an example of what happened to me. This is a number of years back. I just finished my degree work over at York University. And I went to York University because I wanted to become a teacher. And so I applied for Teachers College to get my teaching degree over at York University, because at that time, York University had an outstanding teaching program. And my wife, she says, hey, why don't you apply to Western, which is in London, Ontario? And I said, I don't want to apply to Western, the University of Western Ontario. And so she prevailed. She won. Just to let you know, I did apply to York. But I did, because my wife wanted me to do it. You know, I said, okay, fine. I will apply to Western. I didn't even really put that much effort into the application. I didn't tell her that. But anyway, this thing, whatever. So I got the accept. I had this interview at York for the teaching program, and I got through the interview, and literally the guy who was interviewing me, there was a couple of ladies with him as well. He literally stood up afterwards. He shook my hand and he said, "We'll see you next year." And I'm like, "Yes." This is great. I am in. So I was teaching at a Christian school at the time. And then, so my wife called me one day. She says, "Hey, you got a letter from Western." I said, "Is it a big envelope? Is it a little envelope? Because if it's a big envelope, that means you got accepted. If it's a little envelope, so thankful that you applied. We'll put you on the waiting list or whatever." So she said, "Oh, it's a small envelope." I said, "Oh, okay, no problem." Okay, then I realized it's April Fool's Day. So I'm thinking, "You stinker! What are you? What are you doing?" Anyway, so I said, "Okay, it's that." So I hung up the phone. No, it's no big deal. And then she calls back. She said, "No, really." Okay, so full disclosure, she'd already opened the envelope. She knew what was already in it. So she calls back. She says, no, I think you should listen to what the letter says." So I said, okay, what does it say?" I'm thinking, "Yeah, you didn't get it." She says, "You got accepted." Ah, this was so hard for me. I had already paid my deposit to go to York. I literally had to get in my car, go all the way down Steeles Avenue, turn into the parking lot at York University, go to the admissions office and say, "You know the check that I gave you for teachers' college? I need to get it back because I'm going to go to Western." No word of a lie. She looked at me and said, "What? You don't understand. Nobody turns down this offer." And I'm like, "I get it. But I need to go to Western." Of course, the Lord had done something in my heart prior to that, because I would have never been able to do it. Something in me had to die. No, don't say, "Aw." It's a good thing. I was determined that that's the way that I wanted to go. But that's my sword. I had no idea, because it's just me forcing an issue forward. I had no idea God had another way. And in order for that other way to happen, something had to die. You know what had to die? My pride. My pride suffered that day when I was traveling along Steeles Avenue. But you know what? I don't want to leave this like, "Oh, that's a really bad experience." The joy I had in my heart, overwhelming. When you follow, when you take up your cross and you follow, is there a suffering? There is. But there is a joy. There's an unexplainable peace that you get from Jesus. You can't manufacture it. You can't buy it. Let me give you another example. There's a young sister in this church, it was a couple of years ago. She just so gifted in the fine arts. And she's at school, and of course, you know how we are, right? I don't know what it is about Torontonians. Like, what is it with science, technology, engineering, mathematics? Like, give it a break already. Not everybody is made that way. And not everybody needs to go to university. Can we get over that hurdle? Like, I'm so annoyed at some of the counselors. Sorry, this is my own rant. I'm so annoyed at some of the counselors. Like, university is the only way? Really? No, university is not the only way. There's a lot of other ways. And so this young sister, she was absolutely messed up. Because her friends kept saying, oh, if you do, you know, she wanted to do interior design. Because that's who she is. That's just how she operates. That's the way God has made her. And so this young sister was a mess. She was so anxious, she couldn't even go to school. She stopped going to school. Mom and dad are freaking out, like, oh my goodness, what's happening to our daughter? I get it. We were there with our son. Eventually, you know, I spent a little time with her, and mom and dad spent time with her, and eventually, as she started to bring this whole thing to Jesus, do you know what happened? She was able to say to, you know, to all the pressure from her friends, she was able to say, thank you, but no thank you. I'm following Jesus. I'm following him. And I'm telling you, today, this young lady is flourishing. She would have died in one of those STEM programs. Let me talk to parents. Like parents, and I know because I'm one too, like there's a lot of decisions that you help your kids make. But I wonder, you know, as your kids get older and they've got to make decisions about university and careers and things like that, I just ask you, would you please be on your knees for them? Would you please pray for them? Would you, you know, it's not about you. Can I say that again? It's not about you. It's not about your dreams for your kids. It's about what God wants for your child. Don't live your life out through your kids. They're not your boasting. So as your children are making these tough decisions, I pray that you would be on your knees asking God, not my way, Lord. Not my way. They're going to be a dentist no matter what. They're going to be a lawyer no matter what. You know, if they're going to be a lawyer, that's totally fine, as long as they're following Jesus. Because, you know, they could be a lawyer and not following Jesus. They will be a mess. You'll lose your child. Like, think about the context of these verses. Why would you give up your soul for something? For your boasting? That's why I'm asking you, parents, would you please be on your knees for your children? Take that cross. I know it's hard because, you know, you're going to be with your friends later on. They're going to be asking, oh, what is your child doing? My child's a dentist. My child's a doctor. My child's a lawyer. And you're being like, well, it's not about you. You're following Jesus. Your children are learning to follow Jesus. Let them follow Jesus. Don't lay out the path for them. Don't lay out the path for them. Amen on that? Amen. I know that's hard. It's a hard word, but it's what Jesus is looking for. Your kids need to learn how to follow Jesus, not you. They need to follow Jesus. Let me show you these verses. Can you flip over to the Message translation? This is good. Because, you know, some of us, we don't quite get what is happening in those verses. But look at this. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. These are the same verses as take up your cross. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let him lead. Amen?
Amen.
Right? This is Jesus. If he's leading, then you got to let him lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Let me just say a little word on this. Let him lead. Let him lead. Let me talk to you about buying a house. It's hard in this current situation, right? Hard to buy a house. Nate, Laura, hard to buy a house? Very hard to buy a house. And so our tendency is I'll go outside the city. Right, and that's because I can afford something outside the city limits. Of course, that's getting less and less the case. But still, you realize, right, that when you buy a house outside the city limits, it's going to cost you something. You think, oh, I'm going to get a bigger house, and we're going to have a nice yard, but it's going to cost you something. I know at least two couples from this church. They have made the decision to leave this church, leave this city, so they can get a bigger house, and they can have, I don't know what you know, they must have some kind of a dream, which is okay. But it comes at a cost, because both of those couples have made it very clear, now I've got my big house. You know what I can't get? I can't get the church I had, because I'm too far away. And you ask them, are you going to church? Yeah, but I don't have what I had here. You see what I'm saying? Let him lead. Where does he want you to live? Would it be, if Jesus is leading you to live in Toronto, that means it's a smaller place. It's a smaller place. Is that a suffering? Yeah, it's a suffering. You know, I'll just tell you as a person who's, you know, I've been serving full-time for a number of years. So I don't make the income to be able to afford a home. That's just me. But I'll tell you what's hard. At the beginning, no problem. But afterwards, what hurts is when my flesh brother from my mom and dad, when he's doing so well and he has his big house in a certain city with all the cars and everything else, and my other brother, he's got his. You know how hard that is? That's called a suffering. It's a real suffering, but they don't have the joy that I have. And that's what I'm saying this morning. Look, following Jesus is difficult at times. It's also very joyful. But don't buy into this thought that if I'm following Jesus, there's no suffering. There is going to be suffering that's going on. But I guarantee you this. The suffering that Jesus went through, do you remember what happened after the death? Resurrection. And I'm not talking about, you know, that day when we're with Jesus in the future. Yeah, that's glorious. That's wonderful. I'm talking about now. When you are willing to follow him and let him lead and take up your cross and let him do the driving, I promise you, there is a joy, there is a peace that is unexplainable. You will begin to flourish more and more. And that's exactly what he wants for his disciples. Life comes out of death. Life comes out of death. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word this morning. We just want to listen to what you're saying to our hearts, where we're at. God, I just pray for every heart in this place. Speak deeply, deeply. Help us to follow you. Lord, we hear your word and we hear your promise that your kingdom is coming through Jesus' death and resurrection. And you're asking the same of us. Will you go into death? Will you allow things to die? And so, Lord, we're here this morning. Give us that strength. We want to follow you, and we believe this is a great thing. We ask all this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. It's okay. You don't have to clap for a message like that. That is a tough one.
Wow, thank you, Pastor Ian. What an incredible word. I know for myself, that's something that is very challenging to me to ask myself, who is in the driver's seat? Is it me or is it Jesus? And I pray that's something that we could all think about this coming week. So that concludes our service. Thank you so much for attending. The last word I'm going to say, if you're new among us and want to get to know us more, we'd love to get to know you more. So please see anyone after the service wearing this red Connect Team lanyard. It's up there on the slide as well. We would love to connect with you. Thank you so much. See you next Sunday.